السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We started recording. It's in the Quranic Studies class and it's November 8, 2020. And we continue in the subject of Rahmah. And we said before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized Rahmah 200 times, more than 200 times in the Quran. Okay, that He wants to tell us, I am Rahman, I am the one with Rahmah. I am the Rahmah. The Rahmah is mine. And that's why he calls himself Ar-Rahman. The two most primary names is Allah and Ar-Rahman. Together, Rahman is the only name that Allah has used to describe himself, like just like Allah. Allah, Ar-Rahman. We use them both so that we know that Allah is Ar-Rahman. And Rahmah is his is one of his primary attributes. Disparing the mercy of Allah is a major sin. Why? Because the mercy of Allah cannot be despaired. You're looking down. You think that Allah's mercy is less than the sin, but it's no. No. The mercy of Allah can envelop any sin. It doesn't matter what. As long as there is a repentance, then no sin cannot be forgiven. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. Okay? With repentance. With repentance, all sins are forgivable. Forgivable. Allah will forgive them or not forgive them, but they are forgivable. But without repentance, all sins may be forgivable, okay, except the sin of shirk. The sin of shirk is not forgivable without repentance. If you do shirk, if you treat someone the way Allah is to be treated, if you pray to someone the way Allah, you should have been praying to Allah. If we're doing supplications, dua to other than Allah, if we hold something in our heart as greater than Allah or more important than Allah or deserve more love than Allah, then it's also shirk. Other than that, without repentance, everything is forgivable except shirk. With repentance, everything is forgivable, no exceptions. Okay? Now, forgivable, but whether Allah will forgive it or not, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Or we can say this, all sins are forgiven for sure with repentance. All sins may be forgiven without repentance, except shirk. Shirk has to come with repentance. Otherwise, Allah doesn't forgive it. Okay? So he wants us to have hope in his rahmah. Okay? So we cannot despair the mercy of Allah. And he made a call in the Quran, in Surah Az-Zumar, Surah 39, chapter 53, that you ones who did he wronged themselves so much here? لا تقنطوا. Do not despair the mercy of Allah. For Allah forgives all sins. All sins. Okay? But the condition is anibu aslimu. Like repent and surrender. Okay, repent and surrender. So, however, there's a warning there. You always have good hopes in the mercy of Allah, okay? But you have to do your work. You cannot expect the mercy of Allah when you skip prayers. You know, people say, oh, I'm not going to pray. Allah is so forgivable. So he's going to forgive me for not praying. No. You're being deceived now. That's a false deceiving wishes. A false deceiving wish. When you wish for mercy without doing what it takes to be merciful. Just like the one who he wishes he will pass the exam without studying. No. You have to be doing the actual work to expect to expect something. Otherwise, it is passive, deceiving wishes. If we say Allah gives and forgives, man gets and forgets, do you guys know what that means? Zaki, do you know what that means?
Could you repeat the question?
It is the meaning of Allah gives and forgives, man gets and forgets.
Well, I think it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, humans are greedy. Even Muslims, they always want more. They won't always be happy with what they have because they always relate to something better. Because if they're, maybe they're rich, but they see someone richer, because humans are always trying to relate to something else. And so we always think what we have is less. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful, and he gives us many blessings, but some of us do not thank him, and some of us just want more.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Allah called the Prophet Rahmah. Because Allah is Rahman, he sends us a prophet, and he called him Rahmah in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:107. Surah 21:107. Allah said, I have sent you nothing but Rahmah. I've sent you as Rahmah to the mankind. And then the Quran. Allah called the Quran as Rahmah. Allah called the Quran Rahmah. Okay? Why? Because it gives people good life. Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, both, they give people good life and good hereafter. So you'll have happiness in this life, happiness in the hereafter. Because of that, Allah called them Rahmah. But Allah says, for the mu'mini. But when Quran is revealed to mu'mineen, it increases them healing and Rahmah. Okay, but for the bad guys, it is, except it adds nothing but loss. Loss. Why? Because it becomes a liability on them. The more Quran is revealed, the more denial they have, then it becomes a liability on them. Now, how come is punishment being a rahmah? The parents who have mercy to their children, they punish them. Why? Because if they don't punish them, what happens? So punishment is a sour mercy. Yes, punishment is a sour mercy. It's mercy because it stops you from doing something to harm yourself in this life and in the hereafter. This is the punishment. This is the sour mercy. But the sweet mercy is the mercy that comes without pain. Like Allah will take care of you without you feeling any pain. Okay? Just like... Teacher? Go ahead.
Are you sharing your screen?
Yes.
We can't see it.
Oh, you can't see it?
Mm-hmm.
And you... You didn't tell me. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Anyway. So, sweet mercy is when Allah takes care of you, corrects you without, or fixes, or take care of your problems without you feeling anything, without punishment, without anything. This is called sweet mercy. Sour mercy is when you get punished. Like the stories we have in the Quran about the ship that was damaged by the righteous slave, Al-Khidr, because he damaged the ship so that a king, a tyrant, was walking on the coastline with his soldiers. He wants to go to war, so he is seizing every single good ship he finds. So when he goes to the ship, he finds that it's damaged. Because it's damaged, okay? Because it's damaged, then he leaves it alone. And that was mercy, because the damage was a mercy, but also at the same time, it's kind of painful because the boat was damaged. But comparing to losing the boat versus fixing the boat is just going to be way much more mercy or easier than just losing the entire boat. Sweet mercy is for the same story when Al-Khidr went and fixed the wall for that has treasure for two orphan boys. He came and fixed the wall, and the two orphan boys have no idea what he's doing. They are enjoying their childhood. He fixed the wall so that when they grow up, they take the obtain their treasure, okay? Because if the wall falls down, the treasure will be exposed. But he wanted the wall to, Allah may send him to fix the wall so that stays in place to hide the treasure. So that until the time they grow up. The two boys have no idea what's happening, and Allah sending somebody to fix the wall. So that's a sweet mercy, okay? Okay. Ayyub, you know the story of Ayyub? Ayyub, he is a figure of patience. When you say Ayyub, patience comes to your mind right away. Why? Because he was rich, handsome, and has a lot of sons and daughters, okay? Then Allah wanted to test him first. So Allah took away his children. They died all. And I think it was a disease or like the coronavirus or something like that, an epidemic. So they were gone. They all died. And he has beautiful wife. She stayed, but his entire wealth was lost. His gardens were ruined. Floods, you know, earthquakes, buildings, his homes, you know, everything was destroyed. He lost everything. And he lost he is no longer handsome because he got a skin disease. They call it liberus or something like that, that spots on the body makes the person looks very ugly. And then he was in this condition, very sick for years and years. And he was so patient for years and years. He was so patient until one time his wife had a very nice, long, straight hair, beautiful hair. So she sold it in exchange of food, okay? Because she used to work at people's places to bring food and things like that. And when they didn't like her working there so that she doesn't get the infection, doesn't infect them with the diseases of her husband, or somehow she has no job to do. And they were starving, so she had to cut her hair. So he got angry, really angry. And he said, when I get well, I'll punish you. Then at that point, he made dua to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I was touched by harm. So please cure me. So Allah cured him. Allah told him, hit with your foot on the ground. So he did. So a spring gushed up and showered him, removed all skin diseases, and he became back handsome. And then Allah gave him double his children, the children he's lost, Allah gave him double, twice. And he gave him twice the wealth, okay? And this is all rahmah from Allah, rahmah for Ayyub. So Ayyub, when he's called his Lord, saying, I am afflicted by pain and you are the most merciful. So here is the key word here, that he said, you are the most merciful. He called on the mercy of Allah, and Allah answered his call and removed his pain as rahmah from him. Rahmah, that's rahmah that he gave. Also the story of Prophet Yunus. the man of the whale, when Allah sent him to his people to invite them to Islam, okay, to submit to Allah, invite them to submission to Allah, and then they disobeyed him and they gave him a hard time. Now he sort of resigned. He got fed up with them and he left them without getting the permission of Allah. Allah did not permit him to leave. And prophets have to get permissions from Allah, otherwise they can't do it. So he gave up with them on them and he just left. Okay? So what happened is that Allah punished him. Allah, he wanted to cross the sea. So he went on a boat, rode on a boat with other passengers. And then what happened is that a storm came and the boat was too heavy. So they said, we're going to draw, make a lottery sort of, draw to see who would be thrown in the water, because they got rid of everything. There is nothing but humans. So they said, we have to sacrifice humans, throw some of us in the water, otherwise we're going to drown. So guess, they draw a lottery. It came on Prophet Yunus. They call him Jonah. I think in English traditions, Christian traditions, they call him Prophet Jonah. Okay, so they withdraw stick, his name was there. They withdraw it the second time. The first time they said, no, he's a righteous man. No way we're throwing this guy in the ocean. No way. They draw again, his name came second time. They said the same thing. No way. He is just the source of mercy. He's so pious. He's so righteous. Then they draw the third time, he came his name. So they threw him in the sea. And guess who was waiting? Who was waiting? Allah didn't want him to drown. So Allah sent the whales for him. So the whales swallowed him. And as he kept crying and say, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. No, you are no deity with you, Allah. Glory be to you. I wronged myself. And he kept praying. So he qualified himself to Allah's rahmah by calling on him and asking for forgiveness. So Allah gave him rahmah. Gave him rahmah by letting the whale, first of all, doesn't digest him. So Allah said, I sent Yunus to you, not as a food, so that you become his guardian. So then the whale spit him on the coastline, on the beach, and Allah made a squash tree grows because his skin was gone. His skin was gone. When he was thrown out, he almost had no skin. So Allah sent, Allah planted squash trees to protect him until his skin grows up again. Okay. Signs of mercy of Allah. The good deed is multiplied by 10 to 700. Guess why 10 times and why 700 sometimes? Zaki. Why the good deed is multiplied by 10 in certain situations and all the way up to 700?
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful and He wants you, He's making it very easy for us to go to Jannah.
Yes, but why some people get 10 and others get 700 or in between?
Maybe because they're praying their prayer and they're closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than others.
Yes, that's true. And also because of sincerity and hardship. If there's a lot of hardship, then we're going towards the 700. If there is very pure sincerity, it's not a sincerity, very pure sincerity, then we're approaching the 700. So in between depends. How about the bad deed is only counted once? That's it. Once. That's it. There is no other bad deed that is counted more than once. Allah appointed two angels on our shoulder. The right angel is Raqib. The second angel is Atid. So Raqib, Surah Qaf. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Raqib and Atid. Raqib is witnessing him, witnessing his good deeds. He's writing good deeds. Atid is writing the bad deeds. And hey guys, don't do like the other guy did. He cut his left shoulder. He said, because I don't want the bad the angel who writes my bad deeds. So he cut up his left. Don't do that. I trust you won't do that. Okay. So basically the angel for the bad deeds, the boss is the angel for good deeds. He's the boss of the other angel. So he is like the supervisor. Okay. So when you do something wrong, the angel on the left is about to write it. So the angel on the right says, no, don't write it now. Maybe he will repent. So when times come by and the person doesn't repent from the mistake, okay, and he forgets about it. So he did not repent, but he forgot about it. So there's no way he's going to repent because he forgot about it. At that point, he says, write only one bad deed, just one. Okay, no more than one. Okay. So Allah made the right angel in the charge of the left angel. Okay. For Allah is doing something amazing, amazing that I can't believe it if it's not written in the Quran. That for those who repent, Allah will take their bad deeds and convert them into good deeds. So if he did 100 points of bad deeds, Allah will take them and convert them into 100 points of good deeds. And this is a true hadith that Allah smiled because one of his servants, he did a lot of bad deeds and then he repented and did good deeds. So Allah replaced all his bad deeds good deeds. So he starts saying, Ya Allah, I remember on that day I had a bad deed. I don't see it here. I want this bad deed here. Why? Because it's going to flip into a good deed. So usually in the day of judgment, we all try to hide away from our bad deeds. You know, try to hide away from our bad deeds and wish that the earth will swallow us when we see these bad deeds. We want to hide them. But this guy, when he saw Allah converting his bad deeds into good deeds, he started making claims. Oh, I did it. 10 bad deeds on that day. I don't see them converting. I don't see them in the records. Where did he go? Because he wanted them to convert to good deeds. Okay? So that's, you know, you can't get a better deal, guys. No better deal you can get. No better deal in mercy than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how to get Allah's rahmah? How to get Allah's mercy? First of all, to get mercy, you have to give mercy. That's a rule. ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. The merciful people, Allah gives them mercy. You have to show mercy. The Prophet said, Allah has mercy to the one who is gentle, to the ones who are gentle in selling, gentle in buying. So gentle, okay? With forgiveness, with mercy, you know? Gentle, not harsh in dealing. So Allah, a rich man from previous nations, he was rich, so he used to lend people money. And when he sends his servants to collect the money, the debts, he tells them that if you find a person with a hardship, then relieve him, give him a break. Okay? Don't bang on him. Just give him a break. Maybe he will pay it later. Okay? And he's giving them a good loan. A good loan means it's not usury or riba or interest loan. No, just a good loan. He gives the hand 100, he takes them back 100. No riba. So he used to say to his servants, don't, if there is a person suffering from a hardship, just relieve him. Don't give him anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he met met Allah, Allah gave him so much mercy and he forgave his entire sins and he qualified him for Jannah. There is another hadith. The first one is a hadith, but the second one is also hadith, that one of the people from the previous nations was judged and he doesn't have any good deeds. All bad, all his records full of bad deeds, but he used to be kind to people and he used to be rich. So he would tell people to give the poor, he tells his servants to give a break to the poor people. So Allah said, I have more right to be merciful more than him. So Allah forgave him because he was forgiving to the people that they get loans from him. Yeah, and the story of the woman who brought a drink to the dog, and she was a bad woman. She was a prostitute from the children of Israel. And then she got thirsty. So she went down into a well and drank water, and then she climbed up. When she climbed up, she found a thirsty dog, not a human, dog, a thirsty dog. And she went, and the dog was thirsty. So she said to herself, well, he was thirsty the way I was thirsty. So let me give him water. So she gave him water. And because she gave him water, Allah forgave all her sins. Even though she was a bad woman, but Allah forgave all her sins because she showed mercy to the dog. A righteous person should to say, I am happier that Allah is the one who judged us in the day of judgment. More than I'm happy that Allah is judging me, not my mother. For I trust the mercy of Allah more than I trust my own mother, the mercy of my own mother. Be shy. Like when somebody do you a good deed, like do you a favor, be thankful. So when you, and try to pay him back and be thankful. When you do that, then this is a blessing. A mercy of Allah will encompass you. Allah will forgive your sins and give you mercy. Respecting the elders and be merciful to the young is a source of Allah's mercy. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari narrated that you can never be believers until you show mercy to one another. You will not be believers until you show mercy to one another. And the expression, you're not going to be true believers, it means that your faith is not 100%. It's a shortcoming. Your faith has a problem if you don't show mercy. Then your faith level is down. That's why he said you can never be a true believer until you show mercy to one another. Kind correction of mistakes. If somebody makes a mistake, be kind in the correction. There was a Bedouin guy who came to the masjid of the Prophet and then he started urinating. So all the companions ran trying to beat him up or like chase him away. So the Prophet Muhammad was faster than them and he stopped them. He said, don't stop, don't interrupt him, let him finish. So when he finished, he looked what happened. So Prophet Muhammad said, my dear brother, this place is not suitable for this act. We don't do this in this place. He was a Bedouin from the desert, so he didn't know much. So he saw the mercy from the Prophet and the harshness in the eyes of the other. He said, oh Allah, give only give mercy only to Muhammad and me, nobody else. So Prophet Muhammad smiled and he said, you have made tight something universally big, and you made it so tight. Now, coming to the masjid and listening to Islamic knowledge is also a source of mercy. Allah's Prophet said that the people who gather to remembrance of Allah, talking about religion and things like that, angels will surround them, mercy will cover them, tranquility would shower them, and Allah will raise their mention. Allah will raise their mention in heaven. Obedience of Allah, obedience of Allah and obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the source of mercy. The word Allah said in Surah Al-Imran, family of Imran, Surah 3, verse 132, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger so you might be blessed with mercy. Now, there is a lot of mercy in the Islamic Sharia. Leniency in matter of worship. For example, you can combine prayers during travel. Combine and shorten prayers during travel. That's mercy. Also, obligating us to pray 5 instead of 50. That's mercy. If it's slippery, also you can combine prayers if you need to. If there's a need to combine prayers, you can combine them, but not shorten them. You only shorten them if you're traveling. So you pray 2 for Fajr, 2 for Dhuhr, 2 for Asr, 3 for Maghrib, and 2 for Isha. So you got 50% discount on Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha. Okay? So you shorten and combine if you're praying, if you're traveling. But if you're not traveling and you feel a need to combine for whatever reason, then you combine, pray full prayers, but you can combine them. Okay? If there's a rain, it's a slippery, then you also can combine them. If water is rare, don't do tayammum, which is dry wudu. If you have a janaba due to either sexual intercourse or due to ejaculate wet dreams, doing something happening to you that made you ejaculate during your dream, and it's too cold, you don't have to take a shower. You don't have to take a bath. Just to make wudu. If you don't have water, then to make tayammum. If in a life-threatening emergency where you don't have access to food or drink, you can eat pork and drink wine, but one condition, don't fill up. Just eat the bare minimum that this makes you stay alive, but don't go beyond that. Okay. Divorce is a mercy from Allah. You know that the Christian traditions, you know, no one can... no one can ban is be right. Yeah, ban. Yeah, ban divorce, and they make a condition. They say you cannot divorce unless your wife cheated on you. Then you can divorce. Other than that, no. People became so miserable that wives will go confess and say, we have cheated on our husbands. And they didn't. But they accept to be accused of being cheated just to get divorce. So divorce is a mercy from Allah. At the punishments, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, equal injuries, it is a mercy from Allah. It is mercy. Otherwise, Allah says, don't kill, means that others will not kill you. Don't steal means that others will not steal from you. So it's mercy on you to deter criminals and to scare bad guys and scare the people who do crimes. Then the punishment is mercy from Allah. Prayer, pray standing. If you can't pray standing, sit down. If you can't pray laying down in your bed, if you can't move at all, pray with your finger. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, like this. With your finger. And you don't have to lift your finger. It could be right next, right on the bed next to you. Okay. If you can't, if you're sick and you can't fast a day, okay, then you make it up after Ramadan. But if you're sick, if you're old and you're not able to fast Ramadan, of course you will not be able to make it up for the rest of your life because you're so old, and when you're old, it always gets worse and worse and worse. So you can't. Then you can break your fast and feed one meal, feed one day worth of food, or one meal worth of food. One poor person for every day. Feed one person for every day that you did not fast and you cannot make it up. If you cannot make it to Hajj, fine. Okay? You know, the pillars of Islam is three for the poor people, because going to Hajj and paying zakah don't apply to them. So they have three pillars of Islam, which is makes it easier to them. But anyway, you can appoint somebody to go do Hajj on your behalf if you can't. But if you can, no excuses. In the Hajj, there are certain things that are so crowded, like throwing stones in the past, not now, throwing stones on the shaitan, or in this place that represents the shaitan. It used to be very crowded, and people sometimes die. So if a weak person is doing Hajj, but he cannot do that, throwing the stone, he can delegate the job to a stronger person, tells, okay, do it on my behalf, and it's acceptable. Travelers during Ramadan don't have to fast, and they can make it up later. Pregnant women, they can make it up later. Women during monthly period, they can do it later. Mothers who are breastfeeding, they can do it later. There is rahmah in Allah's creation. The fact that we can stand up, we can see, we can hear, we can eat, we can drink, we can interact with others. Okay, that's a mercy from Allah. It says it's out of His mercy in the Quran. Surah 28, verse 73, he says, it is out of His mercy He made you the night and the day, so you may rest and work. Okay, it's one of His greatest mercy is creating a spouse. He said in Surah Al-Rum 30:21, Surah 30, verse 21, that among His mercy that He has created for you, from yourselves, mates and spouses, that you can feel peace with, feel at home with. The fact that another mercy is that He creates us sinless and don't have to hold to account for other people who did sin. For example, the Christian tradition says that you are guilty. Babies are born guilty with the crime of their father from eating from the forbidden tree. Okay? But we say babies are born innocent and they pick up corruption from the surroundings and the community and the society and the school and blah, blah. But they are, we are born out of His mercy, we're born clean, zero, no sins. The concept of original sin does not happen in our traditions. And now we're going to test you guys into Quran.